And welcome again to everybody here today. And we're gonna ponder again some of these ancient words. Let me just bring this. Let's see. Am I able to share the screen here? Yes, I think so. Let me give it a try. Yep, there it is. There's our little meme there of the old roads that still lead home. Ancient wisdom from the Hebrew scriptures. And again, these little pink boots are made for walking. And you know, there's a determinedness in marching forward with the Lord. And so we are spending some time in the Old Testament scriptures. And this time around, And I thought about it just the other day. Maybe it's just with everything happening in the world, but I still need to think there still needs to be the voice of the prophets somehow. I was checking actually the book of Haggai. Some people say Haggai the prophet. And well, it was mostly because Haggai was actually prophesying at the same time as Zechariah. And you know, we spent a couple of Sundays sharing some thoughts from Zechariah. But one morning I was trying to get some information to go along with those thoughts. So I was reading in Haggai and I realized, wow, the principles in this little book, well, are so much needed in the life of the church today, and well, maybe even the life of this church. So if you'll put up with yet another excursion into some of these prophetic words near the end of your Old Testament. So we're going to get into some of these great stories in the scriptures for sure. But today I just want to turn in our Bibles to this prophecy from Haggai. And it's actually the book just before Jeremiah. So we learned where to find Jeremiah. So now three books away from the start of the New Testament, you'll find the prophet Haggai. So I don't know, I realize now maybe I'm working my way backwards through all these books. I don't know. And you know what? We're going to go through pretty much the whole book of Haggai. Well, there's only two chapters. Well, he's part of the minor prophets. And as I said before, it's not because they were, you know, their messages were minor, but they were just shorter books. And like Zechariah, Haggai was writing about the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem, writing to the children of Israel, as well as to Zerubbabel, right? He was the governor of Judah. And then Joshua, the high priest. So not the Joshua that the book's named after, but he was the high priest. And this was all written about 500 years before the birth of Christ. And, you know, I wonder if up in heaven, you know, has anybody ever said to Haggai, hey, did you know that people in the year 2022 AD are reading what you wrote? What? Really? You mean 2,500 years later, people are still reading my book? Yeah. Well, you know, it's not as popular as Isaiah or anything, but yes, and there's a little church down there in Wellesley, Ontario, Canada, just doing that. And you know what? They're even on Zoom this Sunday. Wow, says Haggai, whatever any of that is. Anyway, Haggai was, of course, a prophet, but could even he have had any idea of just how much his words from the Lord were still, they were going to still wait to be fulfilled completely, well, nearly 3,000 years later, because they haven't all been fulfilled yet. And let me just read the first 8 verses first of the little book of Haggai. In the second year of King, well, let's see, is it Darius or Darius? People pronounce it differently. But on the first day of the 6th month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time is not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. Sounds a bit like Canada, doesn't it? You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Yeah, sounds a lot like us today. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Now, I find it significant that God actually says it twice here, verse 5 and verse 7. Give careful thought to your ways. And that might even be the first lesson for us, maybe worth jotting down somewhere, right? Always give careful thought to your ways and, you know, make sure they're His ways too. We're thinking of old roads that still lead home, but make sure you're heading in the right direction on those roads. Make sure you're heading home. But there was another application for us in these first few verses, because in our day, well, we know, for instance, from the writing of Peter, that the church, the house of God, is not a building at all. I mean, we touched on that shift in our Bible study there on Wednesday, in our video study on the cursing of the fig tree and the clearing, or maybe even cursing, of the temple. Jesus was announcing that something new is coming. A house of prayer for all nations. No one to be excluded, and no need for a temple or some kind of mediator like a priest or a minister. Now, we may meet in a building called a church, right, when we get a chance to do that, especially more fully as COVID-19 is settling down, I hope. But you and I are living stones. We are being built into a spiritual house. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, if there's something like, you know, furnace needs replacing or coat of paint in the church to freshen things up, absolutely, let's do that out there. But I was meditating a bit on these words, this attitude, really. And it comes from the people when they say, the time has not come yet. Oh, we got so much to do. So much going on in our own lives. We don't have time, you know, for church things. I mean, got to make a living. I get that. And there are seasons in our lives. I understand that too, right? You might be busy with kids, especially as they're smaller. Maybe you're looking after mom or dad as they get older. Can't do some of the things you'd like to right now. Well, you know what I'm thinking? Maybe that's a lesson for, well, first of all, for the kids. Try to go easy on your parents. And maybe a lesson on the older folks too. Go a little easy on those looking after you. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I'll leave that out there. I don't know why I had to say that, but I did. But what I got to thinking about, we may often say, this isn't the right time. Right? Now, if you're waiting for the right time, when all the ducks are in a row, I think you know where I'm going with this, don't you? If you keep waiting for everything to be just right before you do something, well, you'll never do anything. In one sense, there'll never be the right time. Paul the Apostle told Timothy in the New Testament, you got to be ready in season and out of season. So, well, maybe there's another lesson from Haggai to maybe jot down or tuck away in your mind. The right time to obey the Lord is always now. If God's been impressing on your heart, you know, something He's been asking you to do, something you haven't obeyed yet, don't wait for the right time. The right time is now. We get so bogged down with the things of this life, don't we? As God says, we're going to continue here in Haggai. Let's see, we'll go to chapter 1, and I'll read verses 9 to 11. He said, "You expected much, but see, it turned out to be a little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands." I don't know, and I want to not be simplistic here, but I've been thinking lately, yes, I mean, well, where did COVID-19 come from? I thought about that a lot after reading these couple of verses. What is God up to? In everything going on around us right now, our focus tends to be on what the government's doing. No, what's God doing? What lessons does He have for us, his people. Now, you want to keep your thumb in the book of Haggai, but turn back in your Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It's a fairly big book, quite a ways back, but go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, because I think it's time we put a very well-known Bible verse back in its context. We tend to take it out of its context because, well, it fits better on a coffee mug. But it's interesting that the words here in 2 Chronicles 7, they come at a time when Solomon has finished and dedicated the first temple of the Lord. And here we are in Haggai with this other temple. But it's 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Let me start, at verse 12, he just said, I've heard your prayer. I've chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. God has now chosen you as a temple of his Holy Spirit, right? And then he says this in verse 13, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It's so hard to keep up with all that's happening in our country around us. I wrote this sermon a little while back, but I've been, keeping a track on what's been going on. Everything falling down around us a little bit. The news is changing every hour sometimes, right? Especially this whole weekend. So many people are hurting. So many people are at war with one another. Christian people are at war with one another. There is so much healing that is needed. I've said that before, and I better keep saying it again. I'm personally of the opinion, right, that the time for protests, at least as I'm thinking about what's happening in Ottawa, the time for protests has come and gone. I really do believe that, at least on this issue, right? But I don't want to miss the time for prayer. I believe God's been speaking to my heart. Well, I've had to repent for being late on all this. But I think we need to come together collectively in humility and seek the Lord on behalf of his church, on behalf of this country, and our witness in it, because that's been damaged too. Now, I know we're limited. It's one thing to want everything to go back to normal, but there's still a virus out there. We got to take some baby steps. I even sometimes wonder, in Ontario, they won't say it, but how much are they kind of bowing a little bit to, we're just going to lift all the restrictions. Hold on. The health people are saying, yeah, but, right? I'm thinking practically, the weather out there, you wouldn't want to drive out to the church there today. It's wind whipping around. But when the roads are a little bit clearer out there on line 45 and road 104, maybe in the next week or so. Let's think about when we can open up the church buildings, maybe an evening, maybe an afternoon sometime. We'll be socially distanced, but let's get together for a corporate time of prayer. I think that's a good idea. I mentioned it a little bit to the leadership in an email this week, and we'll be chatting about that, or at least I'll be chatting about that, and I think they're in agreement. And by the way, please feel free to send me your thoughts as well, right? Because maybe some of you are out there thinking, well, gee, it's about time the guy mentioned about getting together to pray. Well, look what's happening in the world around us. Now, ultimately, God is in control. He's up to something with everything happening around us and to us. And so as a church, may we, at generations, always give, well, as Haggai said it a couple times here, as God said it, may we always give careful thought to our ways. May we always be prompt in hearing and obeying the word of the Lord. Now, back to Haggai chapter 1, verse 12. It says that Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him and the people feared the Lord. Do you ever have to give a sermon or a talk at church sometime? I mean, there could be no better response than what you just, no better response than what I just read here, right? Everybody obeyed the Lord. Why, Pastor, that was the best message I ever heard. God's with you and so are we. Who wouldn't want to get that kind of response? But don't take everything I say. Always check it out. Never believe anything I say if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. Now, verse 13, Haggai chapter 1. We'll read 13 and 14. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. Don't miss the words. I am with you, declares the Lord. And well, it was back, I think the last time we met together live, together, right? Christmas Eve, I was thinking of those words from Jesus. I am with you, even to the end of the age. And there's no question in my mind, by the way, that God is with us. Right here, and he will be with us to the end of the age, long after our earthly days are over. And don't miss this, he is with us now. He really is. Now jump down to the question God puts to all the people through the voice of his prophet. Okay, we're going to go down to Haggai chapter 2 and verse 3. Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? Now, Solomon's temple, I'm imagining now, is quite a bit bigger, quite a bit more splendor. Hey, some of you that have been around for a while, you can remember the good old days, can't you? Last summer, you might have remembered meeting a couple friends of mine, Richard and Carol Dorsch. They came out to visit us when we had some outdoor services. They got married in that little building out there back in the 1960s. So I had to give them a tour. And Richard said he remembers when this was the location, when our building was the location for annual regular missionary gatherings. People would come from all over the area. I got a feeling maybe, Nelma, I bet you remember some of those maybe. Yep. He was telling me they had 120 people jammed into that building at one time. I thought, where did they put them all? Well, I guess you had pews, so maybe they just had guys in the end just squeezing people in, right? Well, hey, here we are together. Praise the Lord. Okay. I have friends that used to drive to Toronto for things called the All Night Sings. They went to Massey Hall when Gordie Lightfoot wasn't there. And I mean, musical groups came. They sang the praises of the Lord all through the night. Now, these are people who have to be in bed by 9 now. But some of you remember big crowds. You know, maybe in the auditorium, Promise Keepers, thousands of men singing hymns together. I remember when I saw Billy Graham at Cops Coliseum in Hamilton. He was like this big, but there he was down at the end of that ice rink. We still get inspiration from the words of people like D.L. Moody or Charles Spurgeon. Wow, yeah, those were the days. Ah, but where are we now? Things just don't feel the same. Not much happening. Now, we're on old roads in these Hebrew scriptures, ancient wisdom, but these roads are moving forward, and they're helping us to walk forward. Well, those little pink boots, they were on their way. We are not to be looking back. Whatever shape things may be in today, God has put us here. He wants you here. He wants you to serve him now, all of us. There's a good word for us. It's actually from the book of Ecclesiastes. I won't turn back there, but Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 10. You ever read this verse? It says this, "Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions." Now, when we look back, we do tend to forget some of the bad old days, right? The past often looks better than it actually was. In fact, I think the medical world even tells us there's some kind of a defense mechanism in our brains that we tend to block out some of the really negative things from the past so we don't get totally overwhelmed with sadness. So maybe the good old days were not always better. So it's a good word to remember from Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. But I have an even better word right here from Haggai chapter 2 and verse 4. But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. His spirit remains, not just among us, but you know, since that day in Pentecost in the book of Acts, his spirit lives in us. So do not fear. God is with us. And that's so important to know, right? We have a future, but you know, it could be a little rough on some of those, well, not so ancient roads that we're walking on. Some of those roads to our future. Haggai chapter 2. Let's just read verses 6 to 9. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, says the Lord Almighty. Hey, let's hang on to those words for us and generations. May the glory be the best it's ever been. Now, going to be shaking. What's all this shaking, rattling, and rolling going on? Well, all right. Again, keep your thumb in Haggai. I won't take a whole lot longer with this, but I want you to turn ahead now into the New Testament. New Testament book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. And Haggai did not know when all this would come to pass. For instance, what was desired by the nations, that's Jesus. The Messiah came. But people like Haggai didn't understand it back in his day, and they didn't get it in Jesus' day either. There would be two comings, right? Two advents of the Messiah. Now, there's a whole lot more than we're going to be able to look at here in Hebrews 12. That's a whole chapter worth reading, by the way. But the author is quoting Haggai, Hebrews 12. And let me remind you as well that this is something to give careful thought to. In Hebrews 12, verse 25. Oh, I got to find it myself. Hebrews 12. I'm trying to keep my finger in the Bible so I don't lose Haggai. Well, I'll find him again. Hebrews chapter 12. This is worth waiting for. Hebrews 12 and verse 25, where it says this. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. Oh, that's not me. but see to it that you don't refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, right? The temple, the veil of the temple split in two from top to bottom. Rocks were ripped apart and people saw people who had been long dead. An earthquake rolled the stone away from the tomb of Jesus. But now he has promised, and then he quotes Haggai, once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Created things. Wow. The day of the Lord is going to be very difficult for many people and all created things. We give so much love to so many created things. We work so hard just to get more stuff It's all going to be shaken, all going to be removed, torn down, dust in the wind, right? Jesus mentioned, you know, for the sake of the elect, when he was talking about the tribulation time. By the way, there's no place in the Bible where it talks about the tribulation period. No mention of that. But Jesus does mention the tribulation, and he says, for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Otherwise, nobody's going to survive. It's going to be a rough, rough, difficult time. Now, verse 28 of Hebrews 12, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And then just the first verse of Hebrews 13, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Hey, give careful thought to that. And all the more, as you see the day approaching, Hebrews also says that, right? Encourage one another. And all the more, as you see the day approaching. Now, back to Haggai chapter 2. As I said, we're almost done. We're going to go way down to verse 21 of Haggai chapter 2, final chapter of the book of Haggai. God told Haggai to say this to Zerubbabel, the governor. I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of the foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers. Horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. Oh boy, let's not be fighting one another, right? Because they are coming. Difficult days. But in the meantime, and we're going to just pop back to verse 15 of Haggai chapter 2. Now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. Now go down to verse 17. I struck all the works of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. All right, what's he going to have to do to get people's attention? To reach out maybe one more time to try and gather people in before that final day? What's he going to do to get our attention? What's he doing now? Verse 18, from this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month. Well, how about from this 20th day of the second month of 2022? And here it is again. Give careful thought. Give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. And again, thinking about these days, hey, maybe the foundation in your own life. You remember when you first met him? Do you need to return to the love you had at first? Your first love, Jesus? Remember when that foundation was first laid? Give careful thought. And verse 19 says, is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this day on, I will bless you. And he's really done that for us, hasn't he? Hasn't he blessed us? I think he wants to bless us more. Oh, not with material things, spiritual things. Hey, listen, is there any seed left in your barn? Well, plant it. Any smoke still burning in that bruised wick of your life? Fan it into flame. Oh, there will never be the right time. There'll never be the perfect time. But the time for obeying the Lord, according to his word, is now. Give careful thought, and may God help us. Father, we just thank you so much. I thank you so much for, well, even that day as I looked over this book and realized, wow, these words make 100% sense right now in our day and time, written all those years ago. But that's your word, and it's a living word. And Father, I pray that we would give careful thought, remembering that you're with us. May we never, ever forget that. But also, may we commit to, well, I guess, building the temple of our own houses, our own hearts. May we give careful thought to making sure the Holy Spirit is really guiding us. May that always be the case, Generations Community Church. We give you thanks. We give you praise for your word. And Lord, as I look over all these boxes and names and faces, and I just pray a special blessing on every single person that's here and those who, for whatever reason, are not here with us this morning. May you bless us. May you bless us and help us to walk forward. Yeah, in your power, in your grace, in your mercy. Let us share it with other people too. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.